everyone. Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of Lest We Forget. Our guest today is a 1986 graduate who spent 3 decades working in higher education right here in Tennessee. He now uses his passion for photography to educate others and immerse them in God's beautiful creation. Please welcome my guest, Dusty Doddridge. Dusty, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be here. And campus is a much different place than it was 40 years ago. Surprising, but it is wonderful to be back.
Yes. The PAC still stands, though. That, I feel like, is the one building that has remained through time of holding on. Doesn't matter if there's a tornado. Doesn't matter what happens. It's still there.
Still there. Yeah.
Still there.
Wonderful.
Well, during your time here, did you have a professor you really enjoyed, or just like when you think back to your time on campus, was there a class or a specific season of your time here that really stood out to you?
Yes, so many people, so many wonderful faculty, staff, peers, people that just make a lasting impression on your life. So I have to give a shout out to my coach, Ron Berry. You know, he put up with us knuckleheads for years and survived. So I have to give him a shout out. And then also, you know, I was a double major in psychology and business, so I have to recognize some of those folks as well. Dr. Howard Newell in business, Dr. Walton Padelford, economics, Dr. Vickery, Dr. Bill Bushelon in psychology. All of those people really poured into us and me as well. And so I have to give them a shout out. In particular, you know, as I think back to that season of life, Dr. Padelford led myself and my good buddy Gunnar Adelberth through a Bible study in the book of Romans. And it was just one of those really special times, just kind of a deep dive.
Yeah.
And it's one of those moments in your life where you know this is just a unique just a unique setting. It's not going to come around again,
right?
You know, at this season of life.
Right.
And it was just really special. And he was just such a wonderful human being. And I have really fond memories of that particular Bible study.
Yeah. Those are the beautiful moments of being able to be not only taught, but like you said, to be mentored by someone who's also teaching you, and just how unique that opportunity really is. Then and now, even too, you know, just the opportunity to be mentored by professors and to be loved and poured into by them.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Just very special time, special season. But yeah, so many people influence your life that carries forward, you know, so
yeah.
Very thankful for that.
Yeah. Now, when you were here and you were studying, was there always this knowledge in the back of your brain? You're like, I want to do higher education. Or how did you kind of find your way into the higher education world?
That's a great question. Probably a 3-hour answer for that. But I don't think this is a long form podcast.
Right,
so
I'll
give you the Reader's Digest version. So, it was just an unusual circumstance for me. I was taking a class that was psychological assessment, which is a little bit unusual. It's not often that you take a psych assessment class in undergraduate level. But anyway, so going through a lot of those assessments, we were our own guinea pigs. And just taking some time to reflect on those results and what it might mean, I started to think about, of course, my future career and how this information might relate to that decision. And upon that reflection, I really thought, well, you know, hey, wait a minute. I'm having a really, really good time here. This is a wonderful sort of life-changing experience. And why not maybe make it a career? So I knew there would be things that I would enjoy doing, such as teaching, such as coaching, and potentially working in the University Career Center. So that particular class sort of planted the seed for me to really start thinking about higher ed, which almost most undergraduate students almost never think about that.
Right.
Just like, I'm here, I'm just trying to get to the next day.
Right, you're in the midst of it. You're not thinking about living in it.
Why would I want to do this every day?
Right, exactly.
So that was just kind of unusual. And then I think as time went by, I don't know when that class was, might have been my junior year, but as I started to approach the senior year and sort of life after college, what was that going to be? I started to see some of my peers really struggle with what do I do now kind of thing, and the more I sort of saw that, the more I really felt at least in my mind, a very clear calling to do not only higher ed, but in particular work in career services.
Yeah.
And so, strangely enough, that's what I ended up doing for 30 years.
Right, right.
Weird.
Yes.
I know.
I love that. And I always love hearing people's, the God story portion of,
yes.
like you said, you know, it's so unlikely to be in this class, and just how the Lord can use those unlikely situations to just start to like prick your heart for what he's calling you to do. And I love hearing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something I couldn't have anticipated. You know, I started out maybe like a lot of college students thinking I was going to go to medical school until I took general chemistry.
Right.
And we had a nationally standardized final exam, and I think the highest grade in the class was a 40. And I thought, maybe I need to rethink this old medical school plan. You know,
yes.
I knew I liked biology, and I think I would have enjoyed doing something like wildlife biology or something of that nature. But yeah, the chemistry was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, hard pass.
I came into it, so I was a theater major, English minor. So I knew that a med school was not for me. The closest I was going to be was, you know, I was like, maybe I'll be on ER. You know, like that was going to be the closest I was going to get to med school.
Close enough. It's the same thing.
It's right.
It's really, it's when you think about it, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. My nurse mother would lose her mind if she heard me say that. She'd be like, it is not the same thing.
She might push back on that a little.
She might push back a little. So, during your career in higher education, was there something that you, maybe a program you implemented or something that you achieved? I know that you've worked in different schools across the state of Tennessee that you can look back at now. And maybe it didn't feel like a monumental achievement then, but looking back at it now, that really was something that you're proud of that you accomplished.
Yeah, so a two-part answer to that one. At MTSU, we had a chance to really kind of transform the Career Center there. And in the midst of doing that, what we discovered is that students started to flood our office in droves. And we had students coming to us, we had faculty coming to us, we had staff coming to us, we had alumni. People were coming out of the woodwork into our office, which is a great problem to have.
Right.
But we needed to solve the volume part of that equation. And so what we did was we really heavily invested in a peer career advising program. It had existed, but we really had to lean into that and rely on some of the best and brightest students to really help keep the ship afloat. So we just reached out across campus and said, hey, who are your best and brightest students who really have a heart for working with their peers? And so we got referrals from all over the place. And we ended up with numerous Fulbright scholars, people that did go on to med school, who weren't tripped up by general chemistry and things of that nature. And just people that, I don't know, they really had a heart for helping their peers. And they were really bright and really capable. And we taught them everything that we knew. And we did a very smart thing, which was to train them and then leave them alone and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Right. And they were just amazing to watch. So it was super, super rewarding to see students, faculty, staff, alumni come in and see undergraduate students work with them. You know, that's a pretty wild thing when you see somebody who's got a 30-page CV and they're coming to an undergraduate student for help with that.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a wild concept. So that was just... that was ultra rewarding. And just to give you an example, just a one-person example, we had a student that came into our office, and this was very typical. And she was coming from a country where Christians were being persecuted. And so she was able to flee the country with her two children, but her husband had to stay behind. Yeah. So this is a common story that maybe many people aren't aware of. And so she came into her office. She had a longtime dream of becoming a pharmacist that she was unable to realize back in her home country. So she didn't speak a single word of English when she and her kids landed. So she had to learn English from scratch, and she eventually got admitted to the university, and she had to repeat every single course that she had already taken. And she's working her way through this, and she's doing okay. But it's now time to submit her application to pharmacy school at ETSU in this case. And so she was coming into our office for help with her personal statement. And so she was very anxious and nervous, as you would expect. anyway, we worked through a personal statement. She did get an interview, and I was just working away at my desk one day, and I look up, and she's coming in through the door, and she's just holding up her phone. And I said, well, you know, why are you holding up your phone? And she starts to, you know, grin, you know, and she said, well, on the phone was the dean of the pharmacy school, and he said that he was not going to hang up the phone until I said yes to come to school there.
That's so fantastic.
You know, so it's just, you know, and we were having story after story that every day, and it's just a full day of that. And you just, I mean, I just remember walking out of the office, just kind of surfacing for air at the end of a long day like that with colleagues, and we would just, I mean, you couldn't even process what had just happened in the day.
Right.
So it was just, I don't know, just super, super rewarding work to just be a small part of someone's journey like that. So, but yeah, the Peer Career Advising Program, very rewarding and very cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to people? So as someone who has walked alongside people of all the walks, trying to find a career, trying to decide what to do, what advice would you give to those who are trying to help someone else? And what are there good questions to ask that you maybe always fall back on, or resources, that sort of thing? Because sometimes it can feel daunting. You're like, somebody's coming to me and they want this advice about career or life choice or whatever, and how to best be equipped, I guess.
Yeah, I just say, you know, whether you're a current student or whether you're an alumni, you know, tap into your university career center, you know.
We do have one that you can access.
Yes, so let's give a shout out to the office here. But I think I think those are questions that are hard to answer on your own. Mm-hmm. So you're unlikely to go out and sit under a tree and come to some aha moment.
Right.
Maybe that does happen. But I think it's helpful to sit down with someone who does know some of those questions to ask. Hey, what are you passionate about? What's meaningful for you? Tell me about your previous experiences. Those kinds of things. What, you know, and look at your personality. All of those things, and then can help you kind of connect the dots. And that's where I think someone who's maybe trained in the profession is maybe better than a friend or family member who is well-meaning but maybe doesn't have that ability to kind of share some of those insights that you might be able to gain from using assessments or having a little bit more of a structured conversation.
Right.
So my number one thing would just be, yeah, tap into your university career center.
Find someone who does it for a living. Yes.
Right.
They have a lot of access to those,
yeah.
Like you said, helping you decide, you know, how do you best work and what's your work style and those sorts of things that you're not going to naturally know right off the top of your head.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's an interesting conversation, but I think over the years, what I found was that many times people actually knew what they wanted to do, but no one, for whatever reason, had given them permission to do it or to even think about it. And so it's just a safe place to come and have a conversation where there is no judgment about what you want to do and who you are and what you want to do with your life. And people really need that. They need sort of an unbiased opinion.
Yes.
And when they're able to just express it out loud, you're like, well, yeah, okay, you don't need me anymore. You know what you want to do. Now go and do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I think most people need.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So higher education, you're there for 30 years, and then you just recently stepped away to take on what I'm guessing has probably been the passion project alongside all of those years in higher education and really focus on photography. So tell a little bit about how you made that transition or maybe even what prompted that transition for you.
Yeah. So, and this actually goes back to Union. It's odd in a way that so much of my life, even now, 40 years later, is influenced by what happened here long ago. My good friend, roommate, teammate, Gunnar Aldeberth, his father talked me into going on a long distance backpacking trip up in Arctic Sweden about 25 years ago. And so that was sort of the beginning of this interest in outdoor adventure, which is a natural sort of connection to doing photography. Mm-hmm. So I have to go back and tell that story first. But I think it was around 2008 or 2009, and I was needing to take on a new challenge in higher ed. And I thought, well, along the way, why don't I start a business related to photography? And if that grows to a certain point, then that seems like a good transition. And if it doesn't, and I want to finish out this higher ed career, then that'll give me something to do and to keep me out of trouble,
right?
You know, post higher ed career. And so that was kind of the thinking. And at that time, I was listening to a guy who had been doing landscape photography for a living for a while, and his advice was, you know, if you want to do this for a living, it's probably going to take you about 10 years to do that. So oddly enough, you know, I started that business in 2010, and then I finished up my higher ed career in January of 2020, which by my math roughly is about 10 years later.
Yeah.
But no, it was really cool because, you know, it's the ultimate sort of side gig. Even before I knew about side gigs.
Right.
And it was great because it strangely enough, I ended up doing a lot of similar things that I was doing in the career center. So at a certain point, you know, people sort of transition from learning how to do photography to figuring out what do they want to express through this medium. Well, you can't really answer. No one else can answer that for you. You have to figure that out. And it's the same thing as a career. No one can really tell you what to do for a career. You kind of have to figure that out. And so the teaching, the guiding part of the photography business, I think was a really, really natural fit for me.
Yeah.
And so, it just all made sense. And January 2020 was a really good time to be exiting higher ed with what was about to happen.
Absolutely. So when you get to travel, is there a specific place that if you could go back every time, you're like, here's where I want to go? Or do you prefer to go somewhere new each time and there's a new challenge, new excitement with that?
My first part of that answer is I enjoy both. I enjoy going back to places. You kind of develop a relationship with places. It sounds weird to say, but I think it's true. Over time, and you can dive a little deeper into those places over the years. But then there's also the excitement of going to a new place that you've never been before. But for me personally, taking the business out of it, you know, I'd still say Arctic, Scandinavia. Those have been places that I've done long distance backpacking, kind of where it all started with Gunnar's dad many years ago. I don't know. There's just a pristine beauty that's there that, you know, I think is really special. And, you know, you can get 4 or 5 days away from the nearest road. You can camp anywhere you want if that's what you want to do. And they have a very elaborate mountain hut system. So if you want to pack really light, you can do that too.
Yeah.
And you're likely to run into reindeer and the occasional reindeer herder. We spent some time with those people. They're very neat, the indigenous reindeer herders up there. Very cool.
I love what travel can do for your mind and for your heart and the way that it just opens everything up for you and understanding things that you never thought to even try to understand before.
Yeah, I would put that, you know, over the years in talking with students, things that change your life in a profound way. It's faith, family, friends, your education.
Right.
And then after that, I'd probably put travel in my top five of just what has made my life better, what's really enriched it, and what's changed it in a profound way. So yeah, travel's in that top five.
Yeah. Was there a moment maybe along the way? Because as a Christian, getting to travel, getting to see all these places, did you have a moment just of awe, or do you feel like those happen all the time for you behind the camera?
Yeah, those happen all the time. Those happen all the time, for sure. And it's hard to really put that in words, which is, you know, I'm a terrible writer, you know, so I couldn't do anything else in art. I cannot draw anything more than a stick figure, you know. So photography, and I can't sing, so there's that. but the list is long of the things that I can't do and express myself. And so photography makes a lot of sense. And so I think that that when you're in these really special places that God created, that are not man-made, and the mm-hmm. light's happening, and you're seeing this, you're part of this experience that's never going to happen again.
Right.
And there's no way to really kind of describe that with words. But then there's the photograph.
Yeah.
Right. And so those experiences are why we get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go hike for 8 miles and see what God has in store for us, you know, for the day. And come back, and it just I don't know. There's a refreshing of your soul that mm-hmm. happens in places like that. It's just hard to describe with words, actually.
Right.
So I don't know. I take photographs, and so that's wonderful for me. And it makes you slow down.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you appreciate the moment, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And too, because I feel like if you're always looking for that moment, and it can be so easy when you are just going about, even when you're traveling, how quickly you move through a space instead of slowing down to have eyes to try to see all of those moments that are happening all around you.
Yeah, 100%. You know, today's pace of life is just way too fast. And, you know, when you're walking, mm-hmm. you're hiking, you have a chance to sort of think and reflect and absorb the moment. And the camera's a good way to kind of help do that.
Yeah. Well, Dusty, I've loved having you on our podcast today. I love any time I get to hear about the way the Lord has created other people to be creative. I think we're all meant to be creative in some way. So I love hearing that. And just also seeing how you have been a good steward of your career as well, outside of photography, but also in higher education and just following where the Lord has called you. So I'm so grateful that you came and joined us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real treat.
Thank you. We hope you will join us again as we continue to hear from our Union Bulldogs.